I heard something on Brandon. Brandon was at the vet's office with his dog. And he was he was talking to some other guys about training pets and his ability to teach them tricks, and they were bragging about who did the best. And Brandon said, "I taught my dog how to play chess." The guy said, "Really? He must really be smart." He said, "Not really. I beat him 2 games out of 3. God is awesome. Get your communion. Go ahead and praise Him, church. Thank you for what He's doing. Thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Give Him a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now, we're going to be talking about something very powerful today. I say this all the time, and I only have to say it, you know it. I've never seen a time like this. Ever. I mean, it's gotten so crazy. Every time I think it can't get any worse, it gets worse. Every time I think they can't come up with something weirder, they come up with something weirder. And so this generation, I believe with all my heart, because of all the craziness, and you have to go along with it, because if you don't go along with the craziness, then you're labeled as a troublemaker. Label me as a troublemaker. I can't go along with some of this craziness. It's just crazy. I'm not going to go along with it. And I know what Jesus said, and I'm going to go along with what Jesus says. Amen? And so, in this craziness, we have something going for us all the time. This is going our way all the time. And that is, we have a God that loves us, who created us. He has not left us. He is working in us, and we thank Him for what He does. Turn, open your Bible and turn to Psalm 150. Psalm 150, stand for the reading of the word, Psalm 150. Matter of fact, y'all read this with me. Ready? Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Every time you see praise Him, I want y'all to holler praise Him, okay? Don't make it loud. Whenever I do say praise Him, I want y'all to holler it out, okay? Ready? Ready? Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Glory! Come on, praise Him. Glory! Glory! Come on. He woke you up this morning. He gave you breath this morning. Things may not be like you wanted to be, but praise God they could. Listen, God still got you. God still got you. Either way, you win. Amen. All right, ready? One is this, I'm going to get over this. Whatever, COVID has got these gifts. And left the gift right there. Praise God. But it's going to be okay. Because God's still in control. Okay. Plug into the power of praise. That is not a tornado. That is an extension cord. From heaven. Okay. The first time I saw it, I thought it was a tornado. No, that's an extension cord. Amen. So now, praise. What is praise? Let's just talk about some things about praise. Then we're going to talk about praise can actually do. Remember, worship has nothing to do with me. Worship is when I just think of all His glory and all of His honor, and I worship Him for who He is. But praise is a little bit different. Praise is when I praise Him for what He's done. Okay? One, I'm just worshiping Him because of who He is. But I praise Him for what He's done and what He's going to do. Okay? So let's look at praise. First, praise is powerful. Did you know that? It's very powerful. Listen, it never leaves a situation the same. It never leaves a person the same. I have watched families, and they're all in the same struggle. They've lost the same loved one, or they lost their mother or their father, or they have a big ordeal in their family. And I watch those who are praising God, and I watch those who aren't praising God. And I'm telling you something, it's the biggest difference in their lives, because those that praise God, I tell you, they realize, number one, it never leaves the situation the same. It always changes. Always. Y'all say always. It always changes the situation. So praise is powerful. We're going to praise Him one more time. Praise Him. Come on. Praise Him. 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 You got a situation out of control? Praise Him. You got something happen you don't like? Praise Him. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow? Praise Him. Because when you praise Him, the situation never stays the same. Not only is it powerful, it's positive. Amen? You know, it's kind of hard to praise God and pout at the same time. Amen? It's so hard. Next time you want to go, look, next time you feel like going, oh, no, what in the world's going on? Instead of going, oh, what, or why is everything always, look, Charlie, we get a Charlie Brown syndrome. I don't know, why is everybody always picking on me? Amen? Instead of getting like that, praise God. Just praise Him and positive will begin to ring out in your life. It's also a predictor. It effectively predicts your outcome. If you're not a praiser, get ready. This is what happens. If you're a pouter, every time you pout, guess what floods your soul is doubt. It just happens to rhyme. Every time you pout, doubt floods your soul. And when doubt floods your soul, guess what happens? Your faith begins to be stifled. So you've got a choice. Are you going to pout? I know we all have bad situations. I'm not belittling your situation. We've all got them. Every last one of us. But the people who have found a way to praise God in the middle of it, their faith seems to be so much stronger than the powder doubters. Amen? Look at somebody and say, don't be a powder doubter. Amen? Tell somebody else, don't be a powder doubter. Say it again. Don't be a powder doubter. Y'all say it with me. Don't be a powder doubter. Don't be a powder doubter. Amen. That's so awesome. And praise is productive. Amen. Because if I can't do anything else, I can praise God. Walking the halls of the cancer center, I couldn't do anything else, but I praised God, and it always made me feel better. I think about with Linda's mama and daddy and all that stuff we were doing with them and still doing with her mother. You know what? If I can't do anything else, I can praise God. Amen? I can't control the DSS. I can't control hospice. I can't control that nursing home. But there's one thing I can control, and that is my lips. Praise God. I can doubt, and I can get upset, or I can praise God. And I promise you, when I praise God, things get better. Amen? I have to remind myself that all the time. Dude, quit pouting. Quit pouting, doubting, and start praising. And look, pouting, doubting, or praising, raising. Pouting, doubting, or praising, raising. Which one do you want? I'm not talking about the little raisins that are actually helping through the grapevine. I heard people talk about raising up the roof. So here we go. I'm going to be quick today, which that doesn't mean a thing. Okay. I've only got 50 slides. It'll be okay. When we plug into praise, it changes our focus. A lot of people, when I'm counseling, whether I'm counseling, really counseling, as in sitting down counseling them, or just running to them at the grocery store, or like Linda said, you know, she said, wherever you go, you wind up counseling somebody. I said, I understand it. And a year or so ago, we just went to spend a weekend just to get away. We spent a couple of days in Beaufort at a bed and breakfast. I know I told y'all about this. And before I knew what was going on, the man that owned the place asked me to pull out my toolbox. I thought he was talking about a fountain. He said, no, you're counseling toolbox. And we had an impromptu a marriage seminar right there were people from all over, from all countries. It was really kind of cool. We were there for an hour or two, and I was thinking, that's not what we came here for. But God had something different in mind. Amen? So look, when you focus, it gets your eyes off of you and gets your eyes back on God. Listen carefully. When I praise God, it changes my focus. That's why it's so important. And that's why Satan tries so hard to take the praise out of your mouth. Because he knows, the Bible said that's where God dwells, is in the praises of his people. He knows if you want to see, look, I might not feel him, but the Bible gives me a promise that if I'm praising him, he's there. And so go ahead and praise him. So here it is. You go ahead and praise him, and what happens is we get the focus off of us, and we get it back on God. Look at it this way. Selfie focused world. I've told about this before many times, but I'd be in there in McDonald's or Burger King, my Washington offices, and I say, "Can we talk?" I said, "Sure, let's go to Burger King because I want to semi-public place." And we're in there talking, and they're going, "I can't take it anymore. I really can't take it." And I go, "Well, what's going on?" And they go, and I hear a ding, and they go, "Well, hold on just a minute." I'm not kidding. And they go, and then they go like, "Oh, no, 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 no." I hear another ding and I go, "Hold it." It's in it all. I said, so this self-focused world, you're making everybody think your life is hunky-dory. People look on social media, look on all these social media sites and think everybody's got it together and their life is so hunky-dory. But if you knew the truth about it, it's not that. You're getting a snapshot that they organize. If you look at their life is falling to pieces, or they got shambles. So what you do is, what you learn to do is, I'm not going to focus on a selfie of me, but instead I'm going to focus on a selfie of him. Amen? When you start talking to God, telling him how it is, so look, watch this. It's so awesome. When we get our eyes off ourselves, we get our eyes on ourselves, our hurt is magnified. Listen carefully. When you get your eyes on you, your hurt is magnified. But when you get your eyes on him, your hope is magnified. So which one do you want? Just simple. Do you want hope or do you want hurt? Do you want hope or do you want hurt? Somebody tell me, do you want hope or do you want hurt?
Hope.
Amen. So how do you get hope? You focus on God. How do you focus on God? You praise him. Go ahead and praise him again. It's okay. Glory. Praise him. Glory. By the time we get out of here, we're going to be praising him. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, it'd be okay if you decide to do some crazy praise. Okay? Crazy praise. All right. So now, he is worthy of our praise no matter what we face all day long. Watch this. 150, we just read it. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Psalm 35, it says, my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. When I find myself getting kind of down, or I find myself getting in a rut, you know, Linda and I, we said, okay, we had to go get some stuff for the house yesterday. And so we went to Lowe's to get stuff to work on the house. And I said, let's just get a milkshake at Cookout. So we go to Cookout. And if you've ever been to Cookout, one thing about it, you can hear their drive-thru speaker. Matter of fact, even they say, can't help you! You're sitting there waiting forever, and then finally out of the clear blue sky while you're sitting here, in your ear, can I help you? And after my nerves get rattled, and I finally get them back in, you know, put my heart back in my chest, I go, yes, I would like a peach milkshake. And they go, you want a peach milkshake? Is that all? And I said, did you say a peach? I said a peach milkshake. Well, I like an orange one. You want an orange one? I wanted to say, well, if it's going to upset you, I won't get up. And I said, my wife likes a corn dog. You want what? A corn dog. You want what? A corn dog. You want what? I said, a corn dog. And so I finally just said, my wife was I said, I just talked to you at the window. And I could hear him asking me questions as we're driving off. You want to walk a corn dog, a corn dog, a corn dog? I could hear it echoing. And we got there, and Linda said, look, she goes, it's okay. It's okay. And so I said, no, I'm not going to let this get to me. And she said, she looked at the window, she says, oh, you like a corn dog? I said, yes. She said, what two sides would you like? And I said, because Linda kept saying, it's okay, it's okay. No, man, I like the right side and the left side. And she busted out laughing. We all started laughing. I said, I told Linda, I said, see, it's okay. Yeah, because I decided it wasn't worth it. You know, and so we got it, and then we wound up going riding around a little bit with the waterfront, and then went back home, went back to work. And so what I was going to say is, though, is you got a choice in your life. You can praise God no matter, or you can pout, or you can get mad, or whatever it is, but you got to trust God. Amen? And Lord knows we really had to practice this, especially between Bethany and then Linda's parents. We really had to practice this because there was so much strain and so much drain that you just had to keep a praise on your lips or you'd find yourself in a bind. So first, when you praise God, it gets the focus off of you. Secondly, it puts you in a position of faith. Okay? I'm not talking about name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, get all you can and sit on the lid. I'm not talking about get all you can it, sit on the lid, whatever it goes. All right. So, ready? Faith. And faith starts with humility. Did you know that? Faith starts with humility. I have people all the time going, I mean, you're just going out and getting kind of wild with it. And they go, hold on. You're not telling God what to do. You're getting in a position to let God be in control. There's a difference. A lot of people now, especially these guys on television, send me $1,000 and God's going to give you a car and God's going to give you a house. And it's still going on and people are still doing it. And usually it's $1,000. Did you notice that? It used to be $100. Now it's $1,000. And what I'm trying to do is, they're not putting you in a place of humility. They're putting you in charge and letting God be a servant to you. Okay? Instead, true faith, you're in a position of humility. And you plant seeds, yes, and you do things, but you do it from a position of humility, not telling God what to do, but you're saying, God, I'm yours, and whatever you want, that's what I want. So in that place of humility, we remember our dependency on God, and we acknowledge our need for God. You know, I remember I told you years ago, I'm talking about when I first got saved, and I was just learning the process. And my faith was really, really, really building. And this guy came to me and my family, and I was talking to him, and I said, and the guy said, look at what I've done. Look at what I have done. And I said, dude, you better not say what I've done. I said, look what God's done through me. He said, I don't need God. He said, here's what he said. I don't need God. I work for everything I get. It's me working, not God. I don't need God. I got this. And I said, uh-oh. And about 3 months later, maybe sooner, that same guy that said he didn't need God because he worked, he got him on his own. That's when the insurance first got his first big bull. And used to you got charged for one insurance policy and it took care of your whole family. Then all of a sudden you got a little for you and a great big cost for your mate and for your children, or your spouse and your children. And all of a sudden he didn't have that money that he had before. And he come to me. And he said, look, I got a payment due. He said, can you help me make this payment? And I said, I thought you said you had this. I thought you said you didn't need God. You had this. And he said, I know what I said. He said, but I was wrong. He said, matter of fact, I'm very wrong. And I hope God forgives me for this. And he said, I know that I need God now. And I said, good. I had to make that payment. And about 2 weeks later, not only did he get a raise, he got another job. And a job offer came. He took the job and made twice as much as he was making there. It's amazing what happened once he acknowledged God was in control and not him. So as we praise him as creator and king of this world, we recognize he's in control, not us. He's in control. Psalm 95:2-3 says, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise unto him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And Psalm 35:18 says, I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among all people. Well, just a few more, and then we're gonna be getting out of here. But we're not getting out of here until we praise some more. It's a force. It's a force to be reckoned with. You know, I hear all the time, all it's gonna take is is for Russia to push one button, and then we're going to push a button, and the whole world is going to be different as we know it. I hear about the preppers, and I hear about the doomsdayers, and I hear about all this stuff, and it's constant. I hear it all the time, and what I'm hearing is more people are depending on themselves than depending on God. Makes sense to be ready for anything. I mean, I've got that wise food. And I got that not just because of something like that, but because I remember we had a bad bad hurricane coming, or snowstorm or something was coming a couple years back. And I said, well, I reckon I'll go to Walmart before everybody gets there and get me something. Well, you know what? They had the same idea. And there were, the places were packed. I mean, it was like I was moving and moving my cart, trying to get somewhere, and I was down this one aisle. As I went down this aisle with the canned food out, trying to grab some canned food, and people were fighting over it. And we hadn't even had the storm yet. And I looked over to the side, and I saw this bucket that I'd always seen, but never did anything about it. And it was something like Wise Foods. And it was, and it said, this is a 48-hour supply of food, and all you got to do is add water. And I said, wow. And so I grabbed it, and I said, I'll never be caught in this line again. And so I put the food up and bought some more and put it up. So in case there's an emergency, I don't have to go to the store and fight the crazy people, which I am one of them. My wife says, now watch out for the crazy people, including the one you're looking at in the mirror. Because now I got this stuff there, because it's just, everything's gone so crazy. But there is a force. Watch this. When you begin to praise God, it will make your enemy flee. It pushes back the darkness that surrounds us. How many remember the mighty army a couple weeks ago that said, learn to kick in the darkness. Kick the darkness till light comes out. Kick the darkness until light comes out. How do you kick the darkness till light comes out? By praising God. Make the enemy flee. It pushes him back. Evil will not stick around if we're praising God, who will fight our battles for us. Jehoshaphat, he saw God work in a very miraculous way to defeat the enemy. He was surrounded by Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. And the Bible said that they were going down. And God said, you ain't got to worry about this. I want you to put the praisers in front. I want you to go out to these guys. I want you to praise them and watch what I do. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20:22, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Matter of fact, they all turned on each other, and they just took out their self. It's amazing what happens if you can just learn to praise God, the force that is behind it. And then finally, it floods your situation. You know why? Because it leaves no room for complaining. It leaves no room for negativity. You know, sometimes our problems overwhelm us. Anybody's ever been overwhelmed by a problem, especially lately? We all have. Amen. But you know what? Sometimes, look, don't throw any fruit at it. If you do, make sure it's not canned fruit. Ready? Sometimes our prayers become complaints. That's an ouchy moment. Sometimes we're not praying, we're complaining. Now, I tell people all the time, it's okay to unload. If you just need to unload, call me up and unload. Just unload. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. I'm not going to take it personal. I know you need to unload. But go ahead and unload. Have you ever seen a diver when he's at the bottom and he's coming up with a snorkel and just coming up all of a sudden, see bubbles coming through as he's going up? The reason is because he has to let some of that pressure out so he can still hold his breath. He has to let pressure out so he can still work. It kind of makes nothing that makes sense, does it? Well, sometimes just talking about it does help the pressure go out. But sometimes our prayers become complaints. And if you're not careful, instead of building your faith, it tears your faith down. That's why I love to pray the Word. I find the stuff we just gave you, the Word I just gave you, you can take that right there and pray all these verses while you're praying and say, God, you did it for them, you can do it for me. You see, when you begin to complain, problems will set in, and once they set in, it's terrible. But you know what? Praise will remind you of something. When you begin to praise, watch this, this is so cool. It reminds me of what he's already done in our lives, and that he can do it again. Psalm 103, 2 and 4 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with steadfast love and with mercy. Man, that's a good thing to pray right there. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him. Now, this is the most powerful scripture I think I found on praise in the Bible. Because it says, let us offer, which means it's not something God asked for. We're offering it like an offering. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise. And then God even says what it is. It's the fruit of our lips, thanking him. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That word sacrifice, what's the word sacrifice means? It means to offer up something dear to us. It means to offer up something we don't even have. It means to offer up something that we can't even afford to give. I learned a long time ago, when I think I can't afford to give God praise, that's when I really need to give it to him. When I feel like I really look, when I feel like I just don't want to do anything but go climb in a hole somewhere, if I can praise him, things happen. And even when I don't feel like I can even offer up another praise, sometimes I just have to call his name, just call his name, because I know that he's taking care of business. But a sacrifice of praise continually means whether I like it or not, whether I feel like it or not, whether I can afford it or not, I praise him. And something special happens continuously. So, it leaves no room for complaining and negativity. I love this. Luke 24:50-53. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. That sounds so awesome. But Luke's a historian. He was a doctor. He was a historian. They can take the book of Luke and they can take history of that time and they can match Luke up because Luke was an awesome historian. And so Luke is writing this about Luke, but then he starts writing the book of Acts, which actually at one time they were companions. But they put John, when they were translating the Bible, they put John in the middle because John was so different than the rest of the synoptic gospels. So Luke was a two-volume, Luke 1, Luke 2, Luke and Acts. And so Luke, in his wisdom and as a historian, Luke 24:50-53 is kind of like looking down at what was going on. But now, when you look at Acts 1, and you see something a little different. Acts 1, it says, and as Jesus was taken up, they just stood there and gazed. They hadn't gone back. They're just looking. In other words, they're waiting for God to do something. ever in your Christian walk when you needed God to do something for you? He told you He was. That you just stopped. Sounds like something spiritual good, don't it? It's not. Because God sent two angels. He said, why y'all staring up? He said, just say Jesus come about like you said, you go to Jerusalem and do what He said, you praise Him. A lot of folks get caught right here and wonder why God's not moving. I tell people all the time, if you do what you can do, God will do what you can't do. But if you will do what you can do, God's not going to do it for you. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I love the Greek of this. They were all together, together. Ah! It says they were all in one accord in one place, but the Greek, the literal words in the Greek, say they were all together, together. It's possible to be all together, but not be together. Amen? It's possible for your family to be together, but not be together. It's possible for your marriage to be together, but not be together. It's possible for all kinds of things in your life to be together, but not together. But they had the same heart and the same mind. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now let me show you something here, and then we're getting ready to close. And God's got this too. Praise God. I know one day that's going to be gone. It's coming. I'm believing it. And until then, I'm just going to praise Him. Even if I got to praise Him with a frog, I'm going to praise Him. Now get ready. When you enter into God's presence with praise, He enters into your circumstances with power. Think about that. When you enter in God's presence with praise, He enters into your circumstances with power. These guys, when they went back to Jerusalem, they didn't focus on the crucifixion. Their focus is on the resurrection. Some of us would get more done and would see God move faster if we could get our eyes off our problem and get on the problem solver. If we could get our eyes off what's killing us and get our eyes on what's trying to fill us. They got their eyes off the crucifixion. They got their focus on the resurrection. Changing your focus may not change your circumstance. I'm not even going to sit here and tell you that. It may not change your circumstance, but it will change your attitude in your circumstance. God's got this. Everybody stand. Brandon, come here and play something. I'm going to ask God to do something. First, we're going to pray, then I'm going to ask you to do something. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Everybody standing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, and circumstances in your life has caused you, and I don't mean you just necessarily stuck your lip out, but you went from praise to pouting. And your pouting turned into doubting. And it seriously hindered your faith. It diluted your faith. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've been in that circumstance, and now you find it hard to pull up to His table because you even wonder if the table's in sight. You find it hard to believe Him because you wonder if He's even listening to you. It's not because He doesn't listen to you, it's because you let your praise be robbed by a pout. And your pout filled your heart with doubt. And your doubt diluted your praise and diluted your faith. And I'm talking to you right now, nobody looking around, all eyes closed. And I'm talking to you right now, would you put that hand up? Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. I don't mean like you look like a little baby with your lip poked out. I just mean by pouting is you started looking at the problem instead of looking at the problem solver. Looking at the problem versus praise. And it hindered your faith. We're going to do something right now different than we normally do for our prayer. And that is, I want everybody on the count of three. This is how we're going to end this service today. I don't want anybody to tell you how to do it. You do it the way you want to. When I count to three, I want us to praise God. And I don't mean some little Garden Friday praise where we're scared to death we're going to hurt somebody's feelings or we're going to scare somebody. On the count of three, I want you to praise. And I promise you, when we leave this service, you're going to feel different. Very different. So now, get ready. But on the count of three, I want y'all to make me do this. Look, look, because it's so loud. Amen. I don't mean like, praise him. I'm talking about praise him. Ready? On three, and watch your circumstances. What you do is you start to praise him, whether you know it or not. You're taking your circumstances and you're giving them to God. Exactly what you're doing. When you start praising him, you take your circumstances that are so near to your heart and is breaking your heart, and you take them and you put them to God, you transfer them to God with your praise. Your praise is the vehicle that transfers them from your hand to his. Ready? Ready? On three. That's going to be how we dismiss in prayer today. So you got to make it good. Ready? And remember, if you knew that your praise today was going to make you feel better, it was going to help you with your problem and help you understand things better and give you a different outlook on life, how are you going to praise God? Ready? One, two, three. Go ahead.
Praise
you, God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen and amen.
Amen.